Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Treat dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills. We've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll be joined by Mike Herndon from paulkuharski.com later this hour at 8:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, PK, we've talked with you about the idea of trading back at number 35 with the Titans if you're looking to acquire more draft capital and potentially get back into the third round if you're trying to do that here in a couple weeks. And you came out with a piece, I think, last week at PaulKuharski.com about the idea of being at number one, picking Cam Ward, and maybe trying to pick up some more draft capital at 35, if that's the way you go then. You've now come out with another piece today at PaulKuharski.com, which kind of walks people through what could potentially be there and what could potentially come about for the Titans if they're able to successfully pull off a trade and either move back into the third round or pick up more draft capital along the way here. So as you're going through this and you're putting this together and you're looking at what could be available for the Titans, what have you learned about what it may take for the Titans or what it may take from another team to move up to trade with the Titans, and how do the Titans go about acquiring more draft capital, which is something that Chad Brinker basically from the start here has shown that he thinks it's really important that they're able to do that as they go through that process over the next couple of years here.
I think we all are thinking, you know, they'd like to add here if they stay at number one and take Cam Ward. And then you look at some of the guys that they're having through on these 30 visits. You know, Donovan Jackson, the Ohio State offensive lineman, some people have projected in the first, you know. I'm using James Foster's big board. He's writing at PaulKuharski.com. I think he's got a good sense of people. His big board, you know, varies. Charles Grant, the offensive tackle from William & Mary. They had these two guys in yesterday, Donovan Jackson and Charles Grant. You're thinking, well, you know, two offensive linemen who are in that 35 range by themselves, and that's not a pressing need. You know, they could be developed as guards for a year from now to play Zeitler's spot. They could be the swing tackle now behind Moore and Latham, but that's not a premium spot of need right now. They'd be depth guys right now. Washington State wide receiver Kyle Williams, 47th-ish. Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver from Texas, 58th. Femi Oladejo, the UCLA edge, 61-ish. Iowa running back Caleb Johnson, 79. I would die if they took a running back in that range. Terrence Ferguson, the tight end, that's very appealing guy. He's at 119. You know, that's in range of their fourths if that stuck. But then in another article I wrote yesterday when I wrote about these guys visiting, you know, Blake Bedingfield said, you know, the numbers he has on guys are, you know, his pure numbers, but he estimates they go a half a round or a round higher. His are value numbers, but because of the lack of talent [S2] Yep. [S1] Out there, they go higher. So you look at these guys coming in and you say, well, if they're going to get these guys in the range that they're tabbed, and Foster's numbers line up to some degree with the big board compilations out there, you're thinking they're looking at a pick after 35, so that would lead you to believe in trades. There are nine teams that have 2 third rounders out there. Browns, Texans, Jaguars, Chiefs, thanks to the Titans,
yep.
Rams, Saints, Giants, 49ers, Seahawks. Those are the teams you'd be looking for the Titans to make some kind of deal with to get in there. I looked at every trade made last year in involving second rounders. There were 7 trades in the second round. All of them included a swap of second rounders. All but one. So also I'm curious, like, you know, there are all these different draft trade charts.
Yep.
And the Jimmy Johnson chart seems outdated, the original chart. But all of these trades came with at least an 87.4% return for the loser, right? And that was there's only one that wasn't at least 90% return, you know? So it seems like they're using the Jimmy Johnson chart to some degree.
Yep.
So I think the Titans can make moves there. I looked at 2 deals. You know, you could send 35 to Seattle and get 50 in the second round and 82 in the third. And that would you'd win that by 4.8%.
Right.
That's not bad. You could ship 35 to San Francisco for 43 in the second round. You'd get 100 back in the third round, which is way at the end. And that would you'd win that by 3.6%. But you'd get 100, which is near the end of the third. That'd give you 100, 103, and 120.
So 3 in quick succession.
3 there. End of the third and 2 at the beginning of the fourth. And then I thought, you know, it's interesting to look at teams with no fourth-round picks because the Titans have 2 fourth-round picks. So these teams might want to get into the fourth, and maybe you can manipulate a third to help them get into the fourth because they have long waits. So the Texans wait 77 spots. The Bears wait 76 spots. The Cowboys wait 73 spots. The Rams wait 61 spots from their because they're not in the fourth. So
right.
they're waiting from their third round pick until their fifth round pick. So maybe you could finagle a deal there. But if you look at this piece, it outlines all of these teams I think the Titans would be targeting if they're trying to get into the third.
Well, as it stands at the moment, you're picking 35 if you're the Titans, and then you're waiting around to 103. That's a long time to wait. It's a long time to wait with the needs that they've had. So in a perfect world, like I'd like for them – to do this and to trade back and try to get back up into that third round and pick up some more players that way. Then the question becomes, and it was interesting because Nick Bumgardner brought up this name again earlier. Like, what do you do if you're the Titans and you're at 35 and Luther Burden is sitting there? Or, I mean, look, you know, Mel Kiper just came out with a mock draft that had Emeka Ebuka sitting there at number 35 available for the Titans. That would be hard for me to pass up on. What if you look at an edge rusher and you just love whoever's available at edge rusher at 35? Like there's a balance, and the Titans are going to have a plan for this heading into the draft of if such and such is there, we'll take him. If not, we'll try to trade back. But what if guys are there that you really love at pick number 35? Well, then you take him and you're sitting there, you're waiting a long time to pick again. If I love the player, then I'm okay with that. Like I would rather have players – rather than the number of players, which I know they need, I'd rather have quality of players that you feel good about. I'll take that every time, and then eventually I think you're going to be better off for that. But that's still a long way to wait from pick 35 to pick 103 if you're the Titans in this roster right now.
Yeah, and maybe you could do something. You got 2 fourths, 2 fifths to come up, but then you're giving up numbers. You're giving up volume. And
yep.
I think, you know, it was a big thing for John Robinson, certainly, to come out with the same number of picks in his deals. So, you know, Borgonzi said, you know, told me at the owners' meetings, how far can you actually move back at 35 where there's a cost for a player where you know you can at least get one of them if you move back five spots, maybe it's 10 spots. As we get closer to the draft, you start to go horizontal across the board and start to work that strategy in terms of can we move back and possibly get this player. Is there a cluster of players that we can at least get one of them if we move back,
right.
You know? So they're looking, you know, if we go from 35 to 45, at 45, you know, can we go horizontally and see some people on that line that, you know, one of those guys will be there. But, you know, maybe there's value at 35 they can't pass up, and maybe they're just going to have to suck it up and not have more than two players in the top 100 despite how much they'd like to.
And
the lessons learned out of the trade, and they go forward trying to stockpile those picks.
And then you need those two players to hit really, 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 really well.
And that's, you need Legarius Sneed,
yes,
to play really, really well. And you can look at that and say, there's our third rounder, and let's remember that.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. So, I agree. If you take Cam, it's almost mandatory you have to trade back to get him help. But let me ask you this. So, if you draft him, do you 100% have to play him if you're the Titans?
Based on where their quarterback room is right now, I would say yes.
I don't think, unless he really shows you he's not ready, there's anything to be gained by watching rather than playing.
I just think, dude, like the growth stunt process, and this is a conversation for another day, I guess, but the more I hear you guys talk about, oh, we're going to get all these players for him at 35, you can do this and that, I'm like, dude, even I think he could be playing with an all-star roster and still have a chance to be stunning like Anthony Richardson. Look at Jordan Love, man. Nobody knew what was going to come out of him, but those developmental years were so important for him. Same thing for Patrick Mahomes. Like all these good quarterbacks, I feel like there's a pattern to it, man. I worry, even if you get him stockpiling picks, that you're going to end up with the same problem, man. That's what I worry about as a Titan.
Joe Burrow started with a very bad roster. Troy Aikman started with a horrific roster. Josh Allen started and struggled for a couple of years. It's the path of most quarterbacks. Don't look at Patrick Mahomes and Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers as the path. That's a very rare path.
Well, and again,
most guys get in there, take their bumps and bruises. Some of them get pulled then to kind of, all right, we're going to give them a couple weeks to reset, heal up, get a different perspective, and then they wind up back in after 3 weeks or whatever. But the normal course is you get in there.
Well, again, I think there's a difference, too, between a guy like Richardson and a guy like Ward. Richardson is more athletically gifted than Ward is. But Richardson also barely played college football. Like, he had basically 1 year at Florida, which was a very mixed bag, by the way. And I remember screaming on this show about how the Colts need to make sure that he sits because he's not ready to play. And then they didn't do it. And they basically ruined him at this point. I don't know if he's going to be good to begin with, but now they're talking about Daniel Jones being their starting quarterback. Like, I think Ward, with the amount of college football he's played, may come in and be ready to go. Like, C.J. Stroud was clearly ready to play.
Yeah, Bo Nix, yeah. Michael Penix, those guys are the guys that Callahan was kind of referring to.
Tune in to Sports Talk 8:30 tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available at the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks
and
Family Leisure. Also, Vanderbilt Baseball later tonight on 102.5 The Game. They're taking on Oklahoma. Pregame at 6:45, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Mike Hearn will be with us
Nicks
here in about 10 minutes coming up at 8:30.
Like
we're
taking
your
it
thoughts
you
on the Titans.
More ready than
Robert
who
says,
played, what, 17
Levis played a ton of football also.
Yeah. I mean,
how'd that work out?
Way
he needs to sit and learn. What we've been doing,
6-1-5-7-3-7-1-0-2-5,
our phone number, we'll have more coming
with
PK next.
And probably Levis
on the NFL
point.
Draft. We'll get to Mike Herndon coming up at 8:30.
PK, my question,
who is the organization ruined Marcus? What has Marcus done since he left the organization?
Marcus was here 5 years, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the organization ruined Marcus. This Marcus worship is silly. He needs to sit and learn. I mean, they've rebuilt the offensive line. It's going to be better. Their plan, not mine. I'm a skeptic until I see it. Offensive line, better. They're going to draft a weapon here. So they should be, have two solid receivers in Ridley and this new guy. Skeptical of what they'll have beyond that. They're going to get a tight end here that should go to the head of the line. And the defense, should be healthier and improved. They've upgraded the inside linebacker, and they're going to get an edge. They should have better personnel. But this idea that everything needs to be perfect in order for a quarterback to come in and go, that's not how the league works. It's not how the league works. Bo Nix didn't come in and sit. Jaden Daniels didn't come in and sit. Was Jaden Daniels surrounded by phenomenal people? Jaden Daniels was surrounded by a lot of one-year contract guys, by a team that was crappy.
Well, here's the other thing. The example that Adam in Portland brought up was Jordan Love sitting in Green Bay.
And Green Bay's a complete exception.
They've got this
3-year sitting plan that kind of happened by accident this time.
Exactly. But it's also so when Jordan Love was sitting, he had Aaron Rodgers in front of him. When Patrick Mahomes was sitting, now granted, Alex Smith is not Aaron Rodgers, but Alex Smith was a good NFL quarterback. Who do the Titans have right now for Cam Ward to quote-unquote learn behind? Levis?
And they could have gotten somebody better.
Right.
And they didn't.
Exactly. So it kind of tells you, if they draft Cam Ward, Cam Ward's going to start from the beginning. And he should start from the beginning. I understand that in a perfect world, maybe you do go back to the old ways and you sit every quarterback and, by year two or three, they're ready to go. By and large, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Steve McNair and Carson Palmer were kind of the end of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And only we're going back at this point. So, again, sometimes when these quarterbacks sit, it's also because they have the luxury to sit because there's a high-level starting quarterback in front of them. The Titans do not have
those are good
right
teams
now.
That are planning. This is not a good team that's been able to play in. This is a team that's failed at quarterback outside of making a very favorable trade for Ryan Tannehill and largely maximizing him.
Yeah. Got one texter that says, them ruining Marcus is at least arguable. Them ruining Levis is an absurd statement. I don't think them ruining Marcus is arguable either. Marcus was not good enough. I don't know why we can't just say that. Yes, were the circumstances around him fantastic? Of course not. But Marcus at this point has been in the league for a decade and has never shown anything other than his second year as starting quarterback here with the Titans that would lead you to believe that he's anything more than a backup quarterback.
I mean, for those of you that think Marcus was somehow failed by the organization, I'm not saying the organization did great work with him. But are you looking for another quarterback with the Aloha spirit as kind of his MO? Did you find that to be a great motivating force for the offense?
Vrabel clearly didn't like it. I mean, he was Vrabel clearly wanted him to be.
Neither, said it on the record.
Well, and so did DeMarco Murray and Eric Decker and other guys they played with. That the leadership part of it. From the vocal part of what you want from your quarterback also wasn't there. And that's beyond just the physical stuff, which was not good enough on a consistent basis. So, again, I don't buy into the organization ruining Marcus Mariota. He's also here for 5 years. He had plenty of chances. Didn't get it done.
Plenty of chances. He went into that last year and said, I said flat out, last chance. To make your bid to be the long-term guy here, what are you changing in your approach? And he said, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going with what got me into this situation. And that is really professional, diligent, thoughtful approach.
Yep. So back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Bob real quickly to the program. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, morning, guys. This conversation about whether you sit Cam or anything, and everybody's talking about Patrick Mahomes and everything. Yeah, Mahomes didn't play right away. Love didn't play right away. one of the differences I was bringing up is they weren't the number one pick.
Yeah.
Maybe they go in the first round, but they weren't the first pick. And also, like you said earlier, they already had somewhat of an established team with them, with, you know, Packers having Rodgers and some of these other teams, but they weren't the number overall. Now, we were 32nd, and we picked him first, maybe he'd sit and learn. But when you're picking him number one in the draft, he's going to play.
Yep.
Correct.
Thanks for the call,
Good
Bob.
Call.
Well, and I think, you know, Jared Goff got drafted number one by the Rams, and I think he sat briefly.
And they traded up. But,
yeah.
They weren't the worst team in the league.
Right. Like, he sat, I'm looking at it, he played 7 games his rookie year. So he sat down for a little bit, and then eventually he was in. But by and large, he's right. If you're the number one pick, you're playing in the NFL. So 615-737-1025, our phone number. Mike Herndon will be with us from paulkuharski.com. Coming up next, we'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Paul Kuharski with me here on the program talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 1025, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Herndon to the program from paulkuharski.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Mike, I want to ask you about, you know, everybody I think at this point believes that Cam Ward is going to be the quarterback here for the Titans. So how do you view, I guess, that decision? Have you come around on Cam Ward? I know we talked earlier this offseason and you thought that's the way the Titans may go here, but now that it looks like that's the way they're going, how do you view that pick if that's what they make here on April the 24th?
Yeah, you know, it took me a little bit to warm up to Cam Ward. But I think I have reached a point just with all of the information available to us that I think he's a dart worth throwing. You know, look, is he a sure thing? No. How many sure thing quarterbacks actually come through the draft process? Maybe once in 10 years, you know? So I don't think that means you stop throwing darts until you get a 100% sure thing, but you've got to find those opportunities where a guy, you know, presents the right skill set, talent, demeanor, production, you know, checks kind of enough boxes that you feel like, okay, we can work with this. And he does have the upside to me just because of his physical skill set that you could close your eyes and envision 5 years down the road, Cam Ward is a, you know, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, not that he's similar stylistically to those players necessarily, but that he's that level of quarterback in the NFL, that he puts it all together and is able to make it happen. You certainly could envision that potential scenario with his physical skill set. So I think he's worth taking a swing at. Certainly it makes it more exciting, you know, to watch this team in 2025 if that does turn out to be the case. And I'm on board. I think he's certainly an interesting and intriguing quarterback to me.
We've been talking about Baker Mayfield as a line. Do we or don't we think he can be what Baker Mayfield has become? Obviously, you'd want him on a better track. The Baker Mayfield's first couple of years weren't bad. Then he tailed off, but was with an even more dysfunctional organization than this one. Do you think that's a fair comparison? Would you take Baker Mayfield as he's turned out at number one in a draft?
It's like right on the line. So I think that's probably a good marker, honestly, because I do think, obviously, you'd like to have somebody in that top 10 kind of MVP caliber conversation if you're taking a quarterback at one. But, you know, Baker Mayfield is proven himself to be a guy that can get you into the playoffs, you know, who can win games for you. So I don't know. I think you'd be a little disappointed if he turns out to be Baker Mayfield. But if you were, you know, saying that's what you're going to get, you know, setting aside the whole, you know, Baker leaving Cleveland and whatnot conversation or part of that storyline, if you got 5 years of what Baker Mayfield basically started as and has eventually come back to being at a, you know, cost control rookie salary, that's certainly a value. You know, even if that's not ultimately what you want your first round, you know, top overall pick to be.
You've been looking at some edge. I know you've been looking at everything. You and I talked a little bit about some edge rushers you've been looking at. Landon Jackson of Arkansas, one of them. Lance Zierlein said he's kind of got some unorthodox movements to him. What do you think of him, and where might you see him for the Titans?
Yeah, so Landon Jackson's one of my favorite options for the Titans at either 35 or after a small trade back in that top part of the second round. To me, I get the production, but it doesn't jump off the page. And he does have a little bit of an unorthodox nature to him. But the thing that I always come back to with edge rushers, especially if you're looking for superstar potential, you know, kind of guys that are going to get you 10 sacks a year, right? And that's what everyone wants. You cannot find guys that do that are not freak athletes. And Landon Jackson is a freak athlete. He's 6'6". He's got incredible length. You know, I think he's got 35-plus-inch arms. And then he ran, you know, in the 4.5s. At the combine at 265 pounds. I mean, this guy is a freak athlete. I've heard everything about him character-wise is like top of the charts as well. So to me, if you're going to take a swing at one of these edge rushers in that second round, high second round range, the guys that are expected to be there, I think Landon Jackson's the one I want. I just think if you're trying to get a guy that maybe has a level that he hasn't technically produced at just yet that he can get to that would put him in that superstar class, I think he's the guy in this class that's got that additional juice that you could see him being a kind of top of the line edge rusher at the next level.
You had two other edges. I suspect they fit this same category, and I hope you're going to write your annual piece for me about guys you love, which I know is maybe your favorite piece that you've written every year. Ashton Gelati from Louisville seems his big question is maybe how he stands up against the run.
Yeah, and he's an intriguing guy to me. So Nick Scorton is a guy that a lot of people have pegged kind of in that 35-ish range that could be an option for the Titans there. But if the Titans wanted to wait a little bit, to me, Ashton Gelati is a lot like Nick Scorton. But you can probably get him at the end of the third or maybe into the fourth round just because, you know, he doesn't come from quite as high a profile. He's not coming from the SEC, right? Ashton Gelati is kind of a sawed-off, shorter edge. You know, I think he's in the 6'2", 6'3", range height-wise, but he's a power player. And that's honestly the thing that I love about a lot of this draft class, and that applies to Landon Jackson as well. These are not, you know, 240, 245-pound edge rushers that can get, you know, kind of pushed around. These are some power guys, and Gelati, I think, definitely fits that mold. He plays with his hair on the fire. I don't think he's ever going to necessarily be a top-of-the-line edge rusher in the NFL, but if you're looking for a guy who's kind of in the Draymond Jones mold, who, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a hint as far as where they might be going skill set-wise, given that signing and their apparent intention to play him on the edge. I think Gelati fits and checks a lot of those boxes and is a guy that I'd be very interested in those middle rounds.
Mike Herndon, our guest. JT Tuimoloau is your third one, the Ohio State edge. He's got a 9.33 RAS, but he's got no 40 time, no running numbers in that.
Yeah, and he's been kind of selective about that. Now, I'll give him a little bit of grace because – of the fact that their season ended so late. And obviously, you know, I think their season ended, what, a week before the combine, basically. So I understand him maybe not running and not having had time to train, like a lot of these other guys did who had, you know, a month off or 2 months off before the combine, basically. I don't think JT Tuimoloau is a explosive, super high-end athlete like Landon Jackson. He is close. I don't think he's quite to the Landon Jackson range, but his production and his polish as a pass rusher are far advanced of Landon Jackson. So he's kind of the other guy, and he's also got length. He's a bigger guy. He's got good length, 34 inch plus arms, and he's, you know, in the 260 plus range weight wise. I think he'd be a really nice pickup for them. Again, he's kind of my 1B to Landon Jackson's 1A among that edge rush class that's likely to be there in the top to middle of the second round.
Well, Mike, really good stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me,
Mike. Absolutely. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Mike had to say there. Got more of your thoughts to get to on the text line. Still a lot of yelling about the Baker Mayfield comp on the text line. We'll get into that.
Caught fire with that.
Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Got some tickets to give away to see Pierce the Veil at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, June 4th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win. Tickets to see Pierce the Veil at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, June the 4th. PK, some news, potentially, on the Titans front. So, apparently, George Fant did a piece and helped out Joe Person from TheAthletic.com that was centered around Colin Granger, who is a former college basketball player that is trying to make a transition to being a football player. And, of course, George Fant played basketball at Western Kentucky and then transitioned to playing in the NFL. So he's trying to make sure, you know, moving forward, that he can help other basketball players kind of make that switch over to the NFL. Well, in the meantime, during this piece, he also pointed out that he's trying to keep his own playing career going, the offensive tackle, who we talked about with the Titans a couple of years ago. Well, apparently we could be talking about him again. Fant told, I believe, Person in this interview, quote, "There's a couple other teams that I've been talking to, but those two are intriguing," referring to the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans. Says, obviously, Baltimore being a contender and Nashville being where I live at, so I'm definitely interested. So apparently George Fant visiting with the Ravens and the Titans coming up. Your thoughts on that?
So he was a possibility in 2023 as opposed to Andre Dillard, correct?
I believe that is correct.
Love it in 2023 as opposed to Andre Dillard. Love it. Now,
didn't he end up in Houston that year too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was outbid. They were outbid for him. Was it 2023 was Dillard? Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
What a year it was.
Yeah. I mean, all the depth they can get. Pile on the veteran depth. Pile on the draft depth. The more, the merrier. Be ready for catastrophic injury. Be ready for absolutely anything. But to me, would have loved them in 2023.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're taking a look at another offensive line piece there. Like, you know, we'll see how the draft breaks out. But before free agency, we would all agree that tackle is specifically a spot where they've got to really hone in on. And now it's not as much of a need. You brought up a couple of interesting players that could be there, be that at guard or at tackle, if they decide to move back and pick up more picks in the second and third rounds. I look at this right now and say, the more I watch this, if you're going Cam Ward at number one, then you really need to pick up as much help in the draft at wide receiver and edge rushers you can get. And you may just have to continue to patch it together on the offensive line until that point. So we know, you know, Moore's going to be the starter at left tackle, Latham at right tackle. Could Fant come in and give you a reliable swing guy? I guess that'd be at age 32 what you'd have to discover there if you're him. Now
it was Fant and Hubbard, right? So they were bidding on Fant, and Fant wanted more.
That's correct. So he played 16 games that year for Houston, and last year he only played two. So he played two and then got hurt in Seattle. So you're coming off an injury-plagued season where, you know, he's an eight-year veteran at this point. He'll be 32 years old. He'll be 33 at some point next year when the season's going on. So how much does he still have left in the tank? I don't know. But again, like, if you're bringing him in, he's not starting for you. He's going to be, I would assume, a swing tackle at that point. So what would you actually need him to do?
So it wasn't Dillard. It was Hubbard.
Hubbard on the right side.
They were choosing between Hubbard and Fant.
Yeah.
And that was the NPF was suspended at the beginning of that season. So that's what it was. NPF was suspended at the beginning of the season. Fant wanted the full season ride, right? And they weren't promising him that he would keep the job when NPF came back.
Which is amazing in retrospect to look back on. Yeah. That's how that was handled. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening on that front. I mean, I think the way he laid it out there is interesting. Yeah, Baltimore is a contender, and Nashville, I live there, so I'd be interested in that. So
Who does not live here?
That's a good question. I mean, you could form a pretty good team.
I mean, if we could
with
just
players that live here,
who live here who are not on the Titans, you could form a pretty good team to take on the Titans.
You could. I mean, Rodgers has got a property here. I don't know if he's ever here.
We don't know. When is he going to build on the property?
I don't know. I don't know if maybe he's already started. I have no idea.
Still Billy has a line into this. Still Billy, get us the plans and the data. Like, he's just dropped that story.
Yes, he poured concrete.
He broke that he had property, and he thought that was a huge deal. It's turned into nothing. Give us, like, yeah, when are they laying the cornerstone?
Has the house been framed yet?
Yeah. What do we have? Are the architectural plans finalized or not?
PK, people still yelling about Baker Mayfield. I think we found a nice bar here. There's strong opinions on both sides of the would you take Cam Ward at number one if you knew he turned out to be last year's version of Baker Mayfield. I think the answer is pretty clearly yes, but there are Titans fans that vehemently disagree with that.
Yeah, I think you're spoiled if you want that. And to revisit something we said earlier, I think you're being way provincial if you want if you're upset about Taylor Zarzur as the new play-by-play guy. Oh, I just wish it was somebody from here who was relatable. So you rate that over goodness. If there's not a local candidate, I mean, I'm sure they would have loved the local candidate. The local candidates don't have the kind of experience that they want. Taylor Zarzur is good. And, you know, just give a guy a chance. Like, why limit the pool of candidates to local?
That's a good question. PK?
It's the National Football League. It's not the Nashville Football League.
PK, thank you for being with us. You'll be back tomorrow.
I believe I will, in fact, be back tomorrow. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe's coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.